Jesus came home with his disciples. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." His mother and his brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Welcome to the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Except there's nothing really ordinary ever on a Sunday. Every Sunday is a little Easter. We call this ordinary time because the way things are counted, it's ordinal, the numbers, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So this is the 10th Sunday in ordinary time. That's where we get that from. Today I want to focus on the issue of Mark's technique in the gospel today is one where we call a sandwich, if you will. So it's a literary technique where he has a topic, he puts something else in, and there's another topic. So you see what's sandwiched in there is the issue of family. He speaks about the family, talks about evil and Satan, and he goes back to the family to close it off. So that's what I want to focus on this morning is family and our understanding of what family is. You've all heard the old adage that blood is thicker than water. And I would say that that is not a true statement. Because our family, as we know it, will hurt us, will disappoint us. And you heard it in the first lines of today's gospel. Did you guys catch that? It reminded me of one of those country songs that says, "God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy." They said Jesus was crazy. His family went out there to meet him, to seize him and take him away because he was driving out demons. They even thought he may have been possessed. So this was his family. But then he goes on to the end and he describes who is family. Who are his mothers, his brothers? And he doesn't say his father, because he has but one father, his heavenly father in heaven. But he says everyone else is family if they do the Father's will. So by us, by our baptisms, by the waters of baptisms, we are given that dignity of being children of the Father. And that is our family. That is who we are by virtue of our baptism. So to understand what that means, I want to turn to a prayer of the Mass that we don't commonly preach on, but it came to me. And that's that first prayer of the Mass that's called the Collect. And what that means is when people come together, bringing prayers together, it's that opening first prayer of the Mass. And some people probably get here late and don't even hear it. So I want to read it again to see what that says, to illustrate the three points I want to make of how we live as family, the family of God. O God, from whom all good things come, grant that we who call on you in our need may at your prompting discern what is right and by your guidance do it. So what are three theological principles from that one prayer? Number one, that we have a creator. That we have someone who created us with a divine plan. And the two fundamental questions we must always ask are, who are we and how should we live? Who are we? We are created in the image and likeness of God. Our identity comes as children of the Father. How do we live? We live as people who were created. We have a fallen nature and we're redeemed. That's who we are. That being is, we go to that first reading. We see there the fall of man, what causes our disobedience, what causes us to sin. We don't know what it was like to live before original sin. You know, some authors say when you saw the world with these rose-colored glasses, also called original justice, original harmony, when we were in harmony with our Creator, we were in harmony with nature. We are in harmony with each other. But then came the fall. There came our fallen nature. And that's that second point. Acknowledging we have a creator. And number two, being able to call out to our creator when we are in need. And primarily we're in need by need of a savior. Acknowledging that we are not a relativistic people. That's what our first parents, that was their mistake. They were saying that they wanted to believe the serpent, if you eat of this, you will not die. But that wasn't the initial die. What the Lord told them, if you eat of that, it's knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to determine by themselves what is right and wrong, not according to the Creator who had a divine plan. So the lie wasn't that they were going to die. The lie was that they were going to go be like God. Why? They were already like God because they were created in His image. That's what they couldn't accept and understand. So we acknowledge we have a Creator. We cry out to Him in our need, most importantly, as a Savior. As a need of a Savior. And thirdly, that third point we hear is that prompting to do His will. How do we do that? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's that inner voice within us that tells us to choose good, to do what is morally right. And we heard that in that second reading, that the same Spirit that has risen Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the same Spirit that was available to Him is available and given to us, primarily at baptism, again on confirmation, and any time we invoke the Holy Spirit to guide us to do the will of the Father, to do what is right. Because this earthly tent, as St. Paul says in the second letter, it's passing away. But it's what's inside shall be stored for us in heaven. That's what we should think. We should seek the things of the Father. When we live by those three principles and virtue, we will do the Father's will, and we will see our Lord acknowledge us as part of His family.